Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I am sure that the other war in Ukraine is still, of course, going on, and people are there also talking about this date, October 7th. What are you hearing? Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. I arrived here by train today, and, you know, here on October, you know, I was in Lviv on October 7th a year ago. And, you know, I think in many ways I was one of the first people to know, or first Americans to know what was happening in Israel. I've spent a lot of time in Israel. And on that morning, that Saturday morning, I started to get text messages quite early in the morning. We're in the same time zone as Israel here. And from people, including people in the kibbutzes, very close to, or, you know, where the Hamas was attacking. And I remember many of those messages that day. From people I know in Israel said, now we know what you all are going through in Ukraine. They realize, okay, this is exactly what you know, and with many differences, of course, but in intensity and violence, what Ukrainians have been suffering through. And after I arrived in the train today, I took a run through the park here in Lviv. Lviv tends to be more peaceful, and the leaves are changing. And there's a cafe where the cooks were outside with a giant black cauldron making this stew called bogrash, and you could, hearty, spicy stew. You could smell the aroma wafting along the trail. I almost stopped my run, but I kept going. And these nice moments of peace. And I was thinking, as I boarded the train early this morning in Kyiv about 6 o'clock in the morning, and it'd been a sleepless night, because there, and as it has been for several nights in a row, probably about five or six air raid alarms. You wake up and maybe 1:30 and then 2:15 and 3:45, and you got to wake up and check and see, you know, what's happening. Is there a new attack? And then I got in the train, I ate breakfast, and I fell asleep without even drinking my coffee. And I woke up several hours later. And as I was adjusting, I'm looking, out the window at the green, sort of ridiculously green fields of Western Ukraine. And I realized that almost everyone in the train carriage was sleeping. And I really realized, everyone had gone through this very sleepless night, expecting attacks on the city. In the end, there were some drones nearby, but there was nothing really major in the city. But just realizing just how exhausted everyone is, I could just see it and feel it there. And then I checked my phone, and I saw that 2 hours before, While I had been sleeping on the train, Kyiv was hit with three Russian Kinzhal hypersonic missiles. And it does seem that air defense worked, but the sound of those missiles, because they are hypersonic, and when they clash with the air defense, that sound shakes the entire city. And everyone from the elderly to school kids and everyone in between, it's a tough morning for those people in Kyiv. And it is kind of nice to have these moments on the train to have a little bit of peace. And as I said to you last week, I could explain why I was in Kyiv. I was at a secret conference last week for security reasons. They had to keep it very much under wraps. It was called Brave One, and as they called it informally, Defense Tech Valley. And it was an opportunity for some of the best innovators in these past 2.5 years in Ukraine to show what they've learned from the battlefield. With drones and anti-drone technologies, even, for example, robots that can take the wounded soldiers away from the trenches and to some kind of field hospital, and really an incredible development of technology. And there were a lot of American investors and investors from all over Europe as well who were there to, because the Ukrainians need, they've built a lot of this sort of on shoestring budgets. And in fact, there's some equipment that, as I learned, that Ukrainians could sell it for maybe $50,000, where it might cost you $450,000 in Europe or the U.S. A lot of it's out of necessity, but it also exposes, I think, some of the overspending in our Western defense budgets. And so it was a very valuable and insightful conference. And, you know, I think hopefully a lot of the Ukrainians who were there were able to make good connections with foreign investors and I think one goal was to get foreign investors to reassure them that despite the constant threats, you know, that the technology here is really developing at an incredible pace and it can be done in a way that can be protected. And so the fact that we all had this conference for 2 days with a lot of key people, that's why it was so secret. Mm. But it's a sign that this kind of stuff can continue even amid these dire threats from Russia.
Yes, and we're just getting word about Ukraine's military claiming it struck a major oil terminal today in Crimea that provides fuel for Russia's war effort. President Zelensky has said that the war is now entering a key phase. What does he mean by that, do you think, Joe?
Well, I think as we look at the, you know, as the weather gets chillier and everyone's anticipating the winter, the Russians have caused, and I heard a lot of this talk at the conference last week, the Russians have caused such intense damage to Ukraine's to its electrical infrastructure, its energy infrastructure, that it's going to be a very terrible winter. And with just a few more attacks, the damage could be, you know, absolutely atrocious. For example, in a city like Kyiv, where most people live in high rises, if you go for a long time without electricity, you know, like say several days, you can't get water above the third or fourth floor of the building because it can't be pumped. Hmm. So it becomes unlivable. And so this is, you know, and as we look at, you know, I saw the reports of Haifa, Israel being hit from Hezbollah in Lebanon yesterday. And you know, how Israel is pretty well protected by air defense. Well, you know, Ukraine, I mean, right now the situation, the policy of the White House, especially toward Ukraine, is that there can be some kind of continued supply of air defense. But here's the concern for Ukrainians. If you step back, well, at one point, it's going to be a game of seeing, can the Russians outlast that supply of air defense? Because, you know, in order to protect Kyiv this morning, it takes amazing resources like Patriot missiles and all this to stop this onslaught from Russia. And as long as Ukrainians cannot strike the bases, you know, with these precision weapons from the UK or France and the US, if they can't strike the launch points, then the Russians forever, as long, you know, they can just keep hitting the cities. At one point, Ukraine's going to run out of air defense because there won't be the will to keep paying for that. And so that really is a concern for Ukrainians, especially going into the winter.
We'll pray for a mild Ukraine winter like Chicago's last year for you, Joseph. Thank you for the reporting.
Thanks,
today.
Bob.
All right.
Until tomorrow.